is for me, and all their hosts by the Spirit of his mouth.
Alleluia.
Let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Therefore many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, Truly this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. Now some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, Why have you not brought him? The officers answered, No man ever spoke like this man. Then the Pharisees answered them, Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed. Nicodemus, he who came unto Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing? They answered and said to him, Are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
So I learned from one of my Greek brothers this last week that the Greek verb in the baptismal service translated to unite is syntasso, which means to join in the sense of enlisting in the army. And so our baptismal vow to unite ourselves to Christ means to enlist in the ranks of the Lord's army. The movement from the font, then, is following Christ into battle. What is the battle? What are we fighting? What is the field of battle? What are we fighting for? You remember that we read from Ezekiel at the Matins for Holy Saturday. That was after we had processed outside around the church three times. We came back into the church, passing under the shroud, to stand inside the Lord's tomb, in front of the image of his corpse resting on the stone. A movement that corresponds exactly to our being immersed in the font, down to the depths of the font. And after we came back in from the church and were standing inside the tomb, in front of the image of the Lord's corpse on the stone, on the bier, we heard from Ezekiel, "Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will open your tombs, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land." So from this we understand that we are following Christ into battle in order to gain our own land. But note that the field of battle is in the tomb. That's where it begins. That's where it takes place. How does a corpse fight? Clearly, the corpse can fight only by the Spirit of God who raises the corpse to life. And this is the mystery of your baptism, is it not? When you joined yourselves to Christ in the likeness of his death and were immersed in the baptismal font, you were immersed in the living waters of the Holy Spirit. Your old man, enslaved to death and to the one who held the power of death, the devil, was put to death. And you were raised a new man into the eternal life from above of Christ's holy resurrection. And now you follow Christ, or you are called to follow Christ into battle to gain your own land. So how are we to understand our own land? Enlisted now in the ranks of the Lord's army, we follow him in his resurrection and ascension up to the Father's right hand in heaven. Our own land then is heaven. But we have not yet caught the force of this mystery veiled in the prophecy of Ezekiel. Today on the Feast of Pentecost, we hear the Lord crying out to us in St. John's Gospel. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, even as the Scripture says, from his belly will flow rivers of living water. The Scripture that the Lord is drawing from is in Isaiah. Isaiah says, "If you do as the Lord commands, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your darkness will be bright as the noonday, and your God will be with you always." But now we need to pay close attention to the Greek. English translations flatten it out considerably and lose the kick in Isaiah's prophecy. He says, "The epithymia of your soul." In other words, the erotic desire of your soul will be fully satisfied. Your bones will be made fat, and you will be as a well-watered garden and as an ever-flowing fountain of water. So do you see how your own land, the destination of our being raised by the Spirit of the Lord in the life-giving tomb of the font, corresponds to the Lord Jesus Christ as the destination who gives our thirsty soul to drink from the living waters of his Holy Spirit. As the Lord says, "Come to me and drink. I am your destination." But I don't see this to be saying that the Lord is our own land. There's a correspondence between our own land as the destination we're trying to gain and the Lord Jesus Christ that we're trying to get to drink. I don't see that the Lord is our own land. Rather, I believe it is to say that the Lord is found in our own land. So our question remains, what is our own land? But the question is now intensified, and especially so by bringing into it Isaiah's epithymia, or the erotic desire of our soul that will be fully satisfied in that day of which the Lord and his prophets speak. That day is today, beloved faithful, the Feast of Pentecost, that mystical day in the church, in the risen and glorified body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that opens on to the deep beyond all things, the eternal mystery of God in which we came to be, and in which our soul finds her meaning, her principle, her rest, in the joy and in the peace she so longs for. The point where this prophetic vision begins is the tomb, the Lord's tomb, that opens onto our tomb. Let's again listen to St. Macarius of Alexandria. He was in the 4th century. I say again, for those of you who are here for the first time, because I've quoted from St. Macarius many times in the last year or two. St. Macarius preaches in one of his homilies, homily number 11, actually. When you hear of sepulchres, do not think only of visible ones. Your own heart is a sepulchre. When the prince of wickedness and his angels burrow there and make paths and thoroughfares there, on which the powers of Satan walk into your mind and thoughts, are you not a hell? Are you not a tomb, a sepulcher, a dead man towards God? So our own land is our heart. Our heart is the field of battle. Enlisted in the Lord's army, we follow the Lord into the tomb of our heart, to do battle there, and to regain our own land, our own heart. For our heart is the palace of Christ, says the Saint Macarius. Here is where Christ with all his angels and holy spirits would come to rest and to dwell and to walk in it and set up his kingdom. But from the time that Adam transgressed the commandment, it was the serpent who entered in and made himself master of the house, even the husband of our heart, the false husband. And he became like a second soul beside the soul. And so our heart has become a tomb, where our epithumia, our erotic desire, is always thirsty. For the serpent is not our true bridegroom. This last week, I followed St. Maximus the Confessor into the Song of Solomon. And I read the Song of Solomon all the way through for the first time in my life. And I was set back on my heels. In the Song of Solomon, we learn, perhaps to our astonishment, certainly to my astonishment, that the Lord God is the kinsman of our soul. That means that he comes from the same womb as our soul comes from. How can that be? Well, of course, he is the image of God in whom we came to be. And he, our kinsman, is the true bridegroom of our soul. He is the beloved whom my soul loves. But I am black, says the bride in the Song of Solomon, having been looked on unfavorably by the sun. And yet, there is apparently a beauty beneath our blackened bodies, our blackened bodies that are destined to become naked bones, food for the worms and stench, I'm drawing from the funeral service, a beauty that, what may be even more astonishing, ravishes his heart. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 9, ad passim, in other words, several places. The bride ravishes the heart of the bridegroom. How can that be? Ah, but of course, we have been made in his image and likeness. He is beautiful and good. We, beneath the corruption of our bodies, in our true essence, are beautiful and good. He whom my soul loves sees beneath appearances and pierces all the way into the heart. He sees the likeness of his own beauty and goodness buried deep down beyond all things in the sanctuary of the human heart, in that depth where only God can see. Shall we say that he sees beauty of his beauty, goodness of his goodness? Shall we say that he is crying out, I shall call her after my name, for she was taken from my side that was pierced? When the Lord Jesus Christ saw his beloved, now I'm drawing from the anaphora of St. Basil, when he saw his beloved, the human soul, lying by the side of the road, half dead, covered with sores, and you can hear I'm also drawing from the parable of the Good Samaritan, he could not bear it. In the power of his ineffable tenderness and humility, he emptied himself and clothed himself in the garment of his beloved bride. Through the humility and love of his holy mother, the most blessed Panagia, he descended into our soul. And on the marriage bed of his cross, he became absolutely one with us in our death. And he descended into the tomb, into the deep of our heart. He found the precious pearl, his own image in the sanctuary, the bridal chamber of our heart. He poured out his spirit on the soul in the deep of her heart. And in his living waters, he washed her dirty garments. They became radiant and glorious, so that when he showed himself to her in the garden, robed in her own garments, now transfigured and brilliant, she did not recognize him until he called her name. Even as he called you by your true name when you ascended from the holy font. Dear faithful, we have joined ourselves to Christ in battle array in order to follow him into the bridal chamber of our heart. Yeah, it used to be a tomb, but he has transfigured it into a bridal chamber. We are going to the bridal chamber of our heart in order to claim it for our beloved kinsman whom my soul loves, the bridegroom who came to us at midnight, at my darkest hour. We have been clothed gloriously in the armor of the Holy Spirit. We have been given the Holy Cross as our invincible weapon of peace. All that remains is to follow the Savior into the desert of our soul and in the power of his Holy Spirit to battle the idols that have invaded our own land. Our goal, of course, is to drive them out, so that the spirit of our kinsmen may find rest in our heart. And in that sacred nuptial union of loving desire that surpasses all unions, I'm drawing there from St. Maximus the Confessor, we may become so infused with the fragrance of his beauty that we begin to smell like him. Fragrant, as it says in the Song of Songs, fragrant as the apple among the trees of the wood. Dear faithful, who would not be drawn to the fragrant beauty of our kinsmen? Is this why thousands are saved around those who acquire the Holy Spirit, so that they begin to smell like him? May it be so in us. Amen. Most Holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ. The joy of the feast be with you.